Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Steve, you suck so bad and so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carl,
what do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 48. I'm Nick Persanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
I don't even know what to say.
Charles Caldwell.
Bob, Bob, Bob.
Steve Morgan.
Late Night Gamer, I barely know her.
And joining us again this week is Ryan Gunn.
My computer might explode.
CPU usage
literally might explode.
Going very high? Is that the issue?
CPU usage to the roof. Yeah. Mm.
That's what happens when you try to be a player.
So we're live streaming right now. You probably aren't watching this part, but we're trying this thing out and seeing how it works. So, potentially in the future, look for us on twitch.tv/latenightgamerspodcast. And we may be recording. We usually record on Tuesday nights, which tonight happens to be Tuesday night. But getting right into everything. Tim, do you want to take lead on this one? Because I feel like this is your topic.
Yeah. So this is actually something that's been brought up a lot on Reddit and 4chan, and it was kind of like a big thing that kind of blew up, so I figured it was worth talking about. But this, an indie developer, her name is Zoe Quinn, it came out that she had actually like had relationships with I think it was like five different journalists or different people like in the gaming industry, and she's like an outspoken feminist, so... You know, I don't know all the details. All I know is that people have been talking about it. So, essentially what happened is that they, like, started digging into all their stuff, and it turned into, like, this giant flame war. And, you know, a lot of people are bringing stuff up. And in reality, I mean, ultimately it turned into kind of like a lot of anger about the gaming journalism sphere and kind of integrity in terms of journalists, you know, gaming journalists, because, you know, what people are alleging is that she like slept with, you know, had relationships with a couple of journalists who then gave her like favorable reviews. And I'm not sure exactly what sites they wrote for, or what magazines they worked for, but you know, I think it brought to light a bigger issue, and that's that, you know, gaming journalism has kind of fallen off the edge, or it doesn't really have the integrity that, you know, the higher level of journalism has. So it's kind of led to a backlash from a lot of different groups, and I mean mainly Reddit and 4chan, which both have huge gaming communities. But there's been a lot of fallout from it, and I just feel like it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the thing that I picked up the most from that whole story was just the industry in general, and the fact that, you know, are some of these journalists paid off? And, you know, I was reading this one story about, I think it was a guy from Eurogamer who actually got fired for not giving a game a good review, because that developer, that publisher or whatever, was giving them money to like put advertisements, so then they pulled all their advertisements. And
yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane. Like, I mean, that kind of shit just like, that can't happen in normal
any industry.
No. And
it's just unethical all around. You can't really say that it's ethical when it clearly is not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There's the YouTube video that I saw about this. It was really well done. It's Quinspiracy Theory. It's like Story of Five Guys or something. They did a good, really, really good job at that. But yeah, it's pretty crazy how kind of irregulated or deregulated the, you know, electronic news is, and who controls this is a bunch of neckbeards at their computer that we all listen to, and it, you know, just kind of makes you take a second look at anything you read about video games.
Yeah, I feel like the gaming journalism has kind of been like a, you know, it was kind of like an industry thing from the get-go, because it was really, games kind of grew from nothing, and so they kind of started their own journalism sphere, and they started doing their own thing, and I think from the beginning, they never really took no one really took it seriously, and I don't think they took it seriously as journalists themselves, because it just kind of, you know, there was never clear ethical bounds, and, you know, I think if you look at most of the big ones, and even the gaming sites that have died over the years, people have always accused them of, you know, being impartial and taking bribes and stuff like that. So for a lot of people, I think this was just kind of like the boiling point where it, you know, that finally hit the mark, you know.
More importantly,
No, you go ahead.
What I learned is if this podcast gets big enough, then we can have female dev sleep with us.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
All right.
Lessons learned.
All I was gonna say was that it's just frustrating that, you know, that the readers who go to these sites to get genuine, honest opinions regarding like how good a game is, or you know, they're legitimately, it's they're the consumer that's making the decision on whether or not, you know, they purchase this, whatever this game is, and if they give it a false, like, good review, and they end up bringing it home and it's shitty, then, like, I mean, what does that say about that? I mean, that says terrible things about the journalism, but in terms of, like, the consumer, it's like, you know, what do you do? Who do you go to? And I was seeing someone who was posting, it may have been in Reddit or something, but they were like, you know, you should just completely not go to the big sites and go to these smaller sites, these guerrilla journalists.
Well, who, and also people that, and like crowdsource reviews and stuff are always better. I mean, obviously, they get access sometimes early, so, you know, you don't get that with like large people. But for me, I don't usually trust like the big sites. I mean, I might take a second look if the big site says it's good, but I don't usually trust it. Like, if it's bad or not, I don't like go, okay, I'm never going to play it. I don't know. Right. It's just one person's opinion. It's like getting a review of a book or a painting or something. It's some, you know, even if the game is, I mean, there are games that are like traditionally really, really good, but you can always write it off as, oh, you know, my opinion was that game was good, or that my opinion that game wasn't that good. And you'll never ever like be like called out completely on like giving a game a really good review when it's not that good.
Yeah.
With that being said, also, this girl looks a little weird, because I looked her up, and she has like an implant in the back of her head.
What?
Wait, no, she has an implant in the back of her hand that can be programmed to do various functions.
Hand.
Yeah. No,
hand. It's like in the back of her head.
She's actually part of the Matrix. She's a four.
She first used a chip to download a code from Deus Ex, and she has a magnetic implant in her left ring finger. I don't know why.
That's she cool. is a robot.
I've actually thought of doing that. If you can get a little magnet implant on the tip of your finger to like pick up little metal things. Or just fuck with people's old CRT monitors.
The important things in life.
Yeah.
But then you're going to get all fucked up, because one day you're going to find, you're going to be around one of those things that you can use like all the magnetic shavings to make faces with stuff, and then it's going to break open. Willy. You're just going to have those magnetic shavings stuck to your hand forever.
That'd be awesome. No. Like, wait till someone makes you like a really nice etch-a-sketch and be like, fuck it all up.
You're going to get an MRI and it's going to come ripping out of your fingers.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. You could just have big holes in the ends of all of your fingers, and then you could just put, you can, in, then it could be like a port that you could insert like suction cups and other like useful utensils.
So basically like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah. Exactly.
You like wouldn't be able to play with magnets, like especially the strong ones, it would just hurt like hell. Be like trying to rip something out of your finger when you like touched them.
They would have to like fuse it to your bone or something. that might be worse. I don't know. Because I feel like if it was just like
rip your bone out.
If it was just like floating in your skin, it would like tug and it'd be like, oh, this doesn't feel good.
That sounds like some sort of Mortal Kombat finishing move where it just like you use magnets to rip someone's skeleton out of their skin.
That'd be awesome, dude.
I feel like you might need to have Wolverine's powers to do this.
Doesn't Magneto do that one point where he like sucks all the blood, all the iron and the blood out?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Potentially.
No, that happened
they're lacing the guy with iron in his diet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what it's.
And then he rips it out and he makes the little balls and he breaks out of prison. It was crazy.
All right, so that's what I'm gonna do.
All right. Now that we've discussed our medical miracles that are going to occur,
gaming implants, a new topic for a new episode.
Some other news that pissed off a lot of other people is Blizzard, PlayStation Network, and Xbox Live were all under a DDoS attack, which is being investigated by the FBI. And have they actually found who it is? Was it Lizard something?
They claim that they did it, but I don't know if they know who did it.
Well, because first of all, it's fucking annoying. It's fucking annoying that these people are taking down, like, games, like, game stuff. Like, come on. Game networks?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, what are they gaining from that?
Kind of like a show of force. It's rumored that they also are doing the same thing to the Dota servers in US East, which I believe, because they've been running like shit lately.
They've been real bad. Much anger.
Yeah.
I don't really get what the point is. I just feel like the people who are doing this are the same people who would be playing those games, so it's just kind of stupid.
I don't know, maybe they have fedoras.
Mechanical keyboards.
I think, like, if you know, I think they probably are trying to bring. It's probably script kiddies who have no idea what they're doing, and they're just like,
right.
"This is the easiest thing they could do is, you know, direct a botnet at random things," and they're just trolling, you know, they just want to get as much reaction out of it as they can. That's how they get their jimmies.
To be fair, if I was a 13-year-old kid right now that had access to a botnet, I'd probably be DDoSing shit. And freaking out, because that's awesome. But, I mean, it sucks for everybody else, but I can see the mentality behind it.
Yeah.
If you're a 14-year-old kid in your mom's basement, it's pretty cool.
Look what I did!
Until they get arrested
Lizard Squad.
Lizard Squad, that's what it is. I forgot what their name was. They also grounded a plane that had a Sony exec on it, which was because they tweeted out that there was a bomb on the plane.
Oof.
Yeah.
And they diverted it.
Congratulations, kids. You're going to jail.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, if you read their Twitter, they kind of, like, that one of their posts says, Sony, yet another large company, but they aren't spending the waves of cash they obtain on their customers' PSN service. End the greed. So I don't know if they have, like, I don't know if they have an agenda or not, but it sounds like they're just trying to, you know, take down the man.
Yeah, I actually I expressed my opinion on Twitter today, and I asked a couple listeners what their opinions were. So I'll throw those in right here too. So I said, who do you blame basically in this whole situation? Do you blame these companies for not having the best security, or do you blame these, you know, these hackers who are just fucking with people's lives for absolutely no reason? Go ahead.
Security-wise, there's not that much they can do about it.
No.
It's like as if you had a phone and you called someone, like, every second for the rest of their life. Like, all you can do is try to, like, stop them from doing it. And, I mean, there are, like, mitigation things that they can do network-wise to try to stop it, but it's not. There's no easy fix. It's like, really annoying.
Yeah. So At William0406 on Twitter, he said, the sense of entitlement children feel today, not thinking things through about who they really are hurting, in parentheses, consumers. And then, actually, at that Chaffee responded and said, it's more than just the children. We have too many adults acting like asses. No one wants to be a role model. They just want to be a reality TV / internet celebrity. Which is true.
Agreed. These are the kind of people who are like, yeah, let's do this, let's blockade them, and then they do it, and then they're like, oh shit, why are the Dota servers running? Like, shit, oh, blockade them more, they suck! And it's like, are you an idiot? Do you not realize what you've done?
Yeah. At RoboP1G, RoboPig, he has a different take on
Robop.
It. RoboPig. And he says, if I'm paying for this service, I expect high availability, DDoS mitigation tech exists. I hope they make use of it.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think that might be part of the kind of like the hacktivist aspect of this too, is that they're saying you're paying you know, in the case of Xbox Live and PSN, you're paying what, $10 a month or more. And they don't even have any sort of mitigation for a DDoS is like as simple as it gets in terms of attacks. Like, there, nothing is being hacked. Nothing's being broken. All they're doing is overloading the servers like constantly. Like, it's right. It's the most low level basic attack that you can do on a server, and they haven't done anything to mitigate that. In this day and age,
like, that's the one that has the most damage lately. It's those kind of attacks that are causing the most damage for a lot of sites. Like, they're preparing for all this theft of information, but they're not protecting themselves.
Yeah, from a technical standpoint, the issue is that it's hard to like stop it.
Yeah, you say they don't have anything in place, but they probably have a lot of stuff in place. But when you have a botnet that's millions or thousands of computers and unique IP addresses and routes and all that stuff, it's not that easy to just say, oh yeah, we got DDoS protection.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I see both sides. I feel like I'm defending both the companies and the attackers here, but I don't know. It's a shitty situation that I think is gonna happen, and I don't think there's a whole lot you can do to avoid it.
Yeah.
Good point. At Stephen Kennett 2 said, I blame Sony for not upgrading their network. This is bound to happen, but I have had no problems so far with Microsoft. Which, I don't know. I don't know if they've been attacked. Microsoft has been attacked as much recently, but I know they were targeted at one point.
I think Microsoft probably has more experience, like with the whole Windows side, that they probably have better tech than Sony, just because they're.
It's true.
They're more, you know, more experienced with it, but regardless, like it's. It's just a shitty situation all around. Yeah, it's more like networking hardware and like how much network, like how far into the network they have control, and that will make the difference. But like for smaller companies, it's gonna be really hard to like defend against it.
Yep. Agreed. That brings us into another PS4 or PlayStation Sony fact that just came out today, which is that apparently, according to a survey that was done, a third of PS4 owners switched from Xbox or Wii last generation, which is pretty huge. One minor thing to note beforehand is that it doesn't take into account the people that sold their previous generation PlayStation 3. So it's people who have only a PlayStation 4 who had an Xbox or a Wii in the past. Or still have an Xbox or Wii, sorry.
And don't have a PlayStation 3.
Right. Gotcha. But still, that means people who have an Xbox or Wii upgraded to PlayStation 4 instead of going to Xbox One. Which, you know, I think that definitely was taken into account during the, you know, the first couple months when it was like Xbox is $500 and PlayStation 4 is $400.
Yeah.
You know, price is huge when it first comes out, so.
Yeah.
Xbox had so much bad press when it first came out, too, with all, like, the DRM stuff that came out.
Because they had to backtrack on so many things.
Yeah. they did not win the launch war. And I think some of the features they announced would have been pretty cool if people got over, like, as a PC gamer primarily, I buy all my games on Steam, and I don't have any physical copies. I can never trade them in. I don't give a shit, you know? If I buy a game, I don't need the extra $10 when I'm done with it to trade it back. So I think some of the stuff that Xbox was shooting for would have been really cool with the whole game sharing and all that stuff that they ended up having to go back on just from all the firestorm that happened.
So, that's true.
It was a clusterfuck.
I mean, how much are PC games, though?
I mean, 50 or less.
Well, depends. I'm cheap, so I'll wait a year until it's on sale for Steam sale and get it for $5.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was just going to say, you know, the fact that you're not upset about paying $5 for a game and not being able to sell it, you know, that's not really... Like, people that sell their games back or whatever are normally paying more than that.
Yeah, but I paid $60 for Call of Duty Ghosts and played it for a week. Stole my Steam.
You also vowed never to do that again.
That was your own terrible choice on that.
I'm just saying, new games are all the same. Just the depreciation is a little faster on PC because of that, of that reason. It just means that console gamers are still paying like $40 for games that are like 3 years old, which is like bullshit to begin with. So
yeah,
I know.
What were you gonna say, Tim?
Physical copies in retail.
I just think that Microsoft is trying to. I think PC is kind of like the promised land for like developers, because it's super easy. You put your game up online, you don't have to worry about distribution. There's no it takes a huge factor out of it, where you just literally, your game is there available 24/7 to anyone who wants it. And that's kind of where I think that's where everyone wants to be at that point, where you don't have to you don't have to have this physical thing that you lug around with you that you gotta throw in, like the days of cartridges. Like, Jesus Christ, no one wants to go back to that. So I think that's what they were trying to do with the Xbox, and just, I don't think console was ready for that. And I think it kind of, it's a thing where you have to have both still. And I think maybe it's going to be the next generation, the generation after that, before they kind of merge. Like, I think with the Steam Box and stuff like that, we might, this might be the last generation that we have physical media, but I think for most people, they just weren't ready for that.
Well, I think it also has to come at it, like, gradually too.
Yeah.
You can't just hit people and be like, oh, by the way, everything is digital. You can't sell it back like you did last generation. Like, you can't just go from one thing to not to totally digital. It just doesn't work for the consumer.
Yeah.
Because consumers need babying and hand holding for several years to be able to actually make sense of a decision.
Well, both the consoles now all do digital downloads, but they also do physical copies. So I think that it's going to be like that for a while before they find. And I mean, even PC does that.
Yeah, I actually, I just downloaded Infamous First Light and preloaded it yesterday, so it's downloaded to my PlayStation 4 right now, and it's I really like that, having it preloaded and like ready to play when I want to play it. Not like, oh, I ordered it, it's in the mail, it should be here at some point, but I don't know when. So
that was, I gotta say, that was one of my favorite parts of Steam. I bought, during the summer sale, I bought like 3 or 4 games, and the fact that I could just say, yeah, install it, and then, I was sitting on the couch, like, checking the sales on my phone, bought it on my phone, and then literally it was loaded on my PC by the time I got up.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is fantastic. So Sweet Game was announced today. Sweet Game.
This game's ridiculous.
It looks awesome.
Insane. So this game is called Pokken, which is Pokemon meets Tekken. And this has been officially announced, not for consoles, not for anything. It's legitimately only for arcade boxes.
Blows my mind.
Which sucks. Come on.
Yeah.
They're shooting themselves in the foot with this one.
I think it's awesome. I think it's crazy. I'm glad to hear that they're actually coming out with an arcade game that's worth playing.
That's true.
Crane Games! Anyways, continue with this ridiculous explanation, because I can't even begin to explain what it looks like.
I don't even know. I mean, it sounds amazing. Tekken characters and Pokemon. I mean, like, granted, it wouldn't have been the first thing that I would have thought of for, like, the next Pokemon game that's announced, but...
Are there actually Tekken characters? Because all I saw in the video were, like, Pokemon.
I'm assuming it's just Pokemon that beat the shit out of each other, but it was crazy. I'm really interested to see, like, Pokemon that, like, actually do moves, because they had, like, Machamp or something fighting, right?
Yeah.
So it was, like, kind of like a fighting Pokemon. I want to see, like, what Gyarados is going to do.
Yeah. I can't imagine they're going to have all the Pokemon, because, I mean, Machamp is, like, they have, like, Hitmonlee.
Just the humanoid ones, probably.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, what's the, like, Goldeen? Or, what's the other one that's just, like, a basically smoking ball of disgusting?
Magikarp.
Ghastly?
Coughing.
That's one.
Coughing.
Yeah, that's right.
Weezing.
We can't do this again. We already went through a podcast where we did, like, 5 minutes of Pokemon sounds.
I know.
These are different ones, though.
I hope they have, like, good ones, though, like Charizard and, like, Mewtwo and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I have a feeling it's going to be specific, like, guys in the game that like, lend itself well to fighting, and that's pretty much it. And then it won't have anybody else.
I really want there to be, like, really shitty Pokemon, too. Like, the Caterpillar one that has no moves except for Harden.
Metapod.
Oh, that was the
Metapod,
worst.
Yeah.
Metapod. That's like... that's terrible. Harden. It only has a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
So anyways, all this talk of Pokemon. We mentioned last week that a Pokemon digital card game was being released. And we wanted to talk about just digital card games in general and how popular they've become and I think I understand why, but I think it'll be good to get everybody's opinion on that. So digital card games, other ones that have come out recently are Hearthstone, Magic the Gathering has been around for a while, and obviously Pokemon. So I don't know, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, but
well, I think the issue with the digital card games is that everyone is kind of given the same cards, and it's not like you can go out and collect cards currently. Because that was part
of
it.
You could buy the ones you want, really, and
right.
You don't have to worry about finding a rare card or having to come up with a creative strategy to beat that rare card. I mean, it's all based on money, right?
Yeah. I mean, we could go to whatever that card shop in Bristol was when we were younger and buy, like, you know, starter decks and also for Magic
the Green Worm card that was a 6/6 that had some terrible feature on it. I couldn't even remember what it was.
What was that thing?
So yeah, you could purchase individual cards and, like, make your own decks. And
they were also extremely overpriced at that place. But that's okay.
Can you trade cards in, like, Hearthstone? I don't think you can.
I haven't played Hearthstone, so.
I don't know.
Can you trade cards in Magic the Gathering?
I don't think so.
On the one online?
On their online component?
Yeah.
Obviously you can
in online you can. For me, what bothers me about this is I feel like card games are, like, the physical form of video games. So to me, it's like the equivalent of sports video games when you have, like, a digital card game. You know, like, if I want to play this, I'm just gonna go to the store and play it. But when I go play it online, it's like I'm doing something I could physically be doing, but online. But at the same time, I have to say I like the convenience of it, because it's nice to be able to just at, you know, midnight or 2 a.m. just pick up Hearthstone and play it and know you're gonna find something to play with. So I don't know. That's why I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but some of the games, especially, like, card games and Dungeons & Dragons stuff, have been around, like, longer than video games. So it's kind of, like, almost like chicken and egg. It's like, these games came, then video games, like, spawned up from them, and then they, like, these video games made new card games, and then these card games are coming back to, like, digital, and so it's, like, it's kind of a back and forth type thing. I guess I agree with you a little bit. It is a little weird because it's sort of like counterintuitive, and it sort of defeats the purpose of like what like makes a card game so awesome is like actually like having something physical and sitting down and playing. But you know, I think it's cool. I don't know. I guess at the same time, I don't really like Hearthstone, and I've had a hard time like getting into it, so I can't really explain what that is. I just didn't really think it was that interesting, so I don't know.
It's understandable. If you don't like the game, you don't like the game.
Yeah.
I mean, but I love Magic the Gathering. I love card games. I love board games. Like, there's no... It's not like the style of game that I don't like. It's just something about not having cards.
Yeah.
I love Magic the Gathering. I don't like board games. Oh, God.
Well, it depends what you're talking about. Are we talking about Scrabble?
Settlers of Catan drives me up the wall.
I saw that at Target the other day. I was kind of surprised.
It's a good game. It just depends who you're playing with, too, I guess. I mean, yeah.
Do you guys think you'll play the Pokemon card game, the digital card game, at all?
No.
No.
The days of my Pokemon playing or past.
Yeah. I
don't even think when it was head cards I even played.
I actually just found all my Pokemon cards while I was packing. And some good foils, man. Probably worth money.
Yeah.
You're gonna sell them?
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure I went to New York City once and bought some like counterfeit foil cards. Because they were like printed wrong on one side. But whatever.
Counterfeit and everything.
I'm pretty sure I tried to sell them to kids at the Bristol Community Center. But nobody wanted to buy them.
Tried to sell them in high school? Trade them for a sliver deck?
Did I miss the discussion on Hearthstone while I was DC'd?
Well, not completely. You can chime in and say whatever you want about Hearthstone.
Does anybody play it? I don't know if any of you guys play it.
Yeah, I play it here and there.
I do not.
They just came out with like a single player campaign, and I thought it was a really cool addition to card games in general, where like you go against like different bosses and you get rewards and stuff for it. And it's based off Naxxramas, which if you're a WoW nerd, you probably raided way too many times, especially in Wrath of the Lich King. And it was just really cool. It was like nostalgic for me. Plus, I think almost every card in the game by now, and I haven't put a dollar into it. I think they have a pretty good model, and it's a fun game.
That's sweet. I've heard that from a lot of people, actually, that you can, if you actually like it, then you don't have to spend basically any money.
Yeah. I agree. I think it has a cool model where you can, basically, like, they have daily quests, so you can do things and, like, get coins and kind of grind it out rather than put money into it. But, or if you are lazy and you just want to get everything right away, you can pump money into it.
Yeah, two of the guys I work with that play the game have each put $100 into it. So,
wow. God.
Yeah.
Into a digital card game.
Into a digital card. Yeah, the most you can buy is like $50 at a time worth of packs. It's like 40 booster packs or something. And they've both done that twice. So,
wow.
They're making money.
I mean, I guess, it, you know, in the grand, like, I think we had this discussion once before, like, it's kind of like the same as MMOs or, like, free-to-play MMOs where, you know, you might be spending $15 a month, but if you play it for a year and all you spend is $100, you know, you've come out about the same.
It's true.
So it's not that crazy. I don't think it's that crazy to spend $100 on the game.
It's also, I mean...
No, I
was just going to say, it's also like, you know, maybe they don't play as often as Ryan does, so, you know, if they were to play against Ryan, then they'd be pretty shafted because he probably has a lot better cards. But,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the point. It's allow a bridge. Either you can spend a lot of money and get a lot of good cards, or you can grind it out and spend a lot of time and, you know,
exactly.
There's two ways to get to the same destination. But you'll be a lot better player if you grind it out.
Yeah. Have you guys played Magic the Gathering, like the digital version?
Yes. I mean, there's two different ones. There's like on Steam and stuff. You can get like Duels of the Planeswalkers, which is kind of like the
yeah.
there's cards, but it's not like a card game. It's more like you know, you don't trade cards or anything. You just play and you like. You can kind of build decks and stuff like that, but It's different from Magic the Gathering Online, which is literally Magic, like the paper game, but online. So like the cards all have values and stuff, and you can buy and sell cards, and and it's like...
So the Planeswalker one is more like Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of like a simplified version. It's okay. More like Hearthstone than regular Magic.
Yeah.
I think I tried playing... I think it was Duels of Planeswalkers that I played. Is that on PlayStation also?
Yeah, I think it's on all the consoles.
Okay. I think I played that once, and I did not enjoy it. I don't play Magic, like, the actual card game very often, but, you know, from time to time, it's fun. Planeswalkers was not for me, though.
We've still got a ton of cards somewhere, but...
That was the best.
Who knows where it is.
When you were in school and you come in and you bring your, like, I remember there are people that would bring in, like, boxes of, like...
Going into the band
pre-made
room,
decks
sitting
and
on
stuff.
The floor.
I remember in, like, I think it was a chemistry class, I forget her name, but we, like, progressively, we were just so bad, but we, like, progressively got more and more class time devoted to Magic. And
chemistry,
she was like,
wasn't it, or something?
Yeah. And she was like, all right, guys, put away the cards. No. All right, I'll give you another 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, she was like...
That's not the one that Johnny B. Good said was the worst teacher he'd ever had.
She was like, you guys can play Magic, but we got to devote, like, the last half hour to class. And we're like, all right. And then by the time we were leaving, she was just like, you guys can play Magic, but we need the last 5 minutes for teaching. And we were just like, no, we're going to keep playing.
That had to be the call.
I think it
wasn't.
She was only there for 1 year. Not even a year.
McCall was more of a... McCall would have been more of a brute about that stuff.
Yeah, she was like a...
Was a little...
We had Paletsky, and then he left.
Yeah.
And we had her.
But there was...
Wasn't there Blanchard?
There was like the adult...
Douglas, right?
Douglas.
Yeah, Douglas. She was like an adult baby. It was weird.
And then someone put a bunch of nails on a hot plate, and then they were like red hot, and she picked them up. Like, who picks that up?
You don't just pick up stuff off of a hot plate. And then someone broke a mercury thermometer and was just playing with the mercury. And like someone was playing with the mercury on the floor, and all she did was just pick it up with a piece of paper and throw it in the trash. We're like, yeah, that's definitely not what you're supposed to do.
True.
And she didn't believe in germs.
Yeah. She picked up a piece of...
chemistry teacher, what the...
She picked up a piece of gum off the floor, and then she said, I don't believe in germs, and she licked her fingers.
And everyone was like...
They're gross.
Thousands, everyone was like, hundreds and hundreds of years of science just gone down the drain.
Watson and Crick, or whatever, turning over in their graves. Anyway, I think... After that sidetracking moment, I think that brings us to our top five this week, which is the top five worst physical games that could go digital.
Some of these have gone digital. BTW.
Wait, have they?
I'm pretty sure some of these have, but doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
They shouldn't be digital. We're just gonna play it like that.
Okay, so number one is my choice. Which is a board game that I remember from a child, and it is Don't Wake Daddy, which is... I remember being a kid and being like, the premise of this game is really dumb. Are these kids, like, trying to run away? Like, why... And also, this is the 1990s. Who still sleeps in, like, a sleeping hat? Like, do you remember that Don't Wake Daddy? He would come up and his eyes would be all bunged out and...
Has anyone ever actually played the actual game?
I think I did once.
I have not.
Because I don't really understand what you're supposed to do. Like, you like hit the thing and...
Isn't it all about getting to the fridge? I thought it was about getting to the fridge.
Yeah, but it's not like you're physically running to the fridge.
No,
I think there was, like...
the premise of the game.
Yeah, and I think, like, if you landed on squares, you had to, like, push a button, and randomly the button would wake Daddy, was the premise or something.
So it was
like
basically
that.
All a game of chance.
Yeah, so this game should be remade for BioShock, and it's Don't Wake Daddy, and you're trying to get around to go get the little sister and avoid the Big Daddy.
That sounds awesome.
That'd be like the best DLC ever.
That sounds a lot better than the original.
Yeah, that would be a good DLC.
Don't Wake Big Daddy.
doom, 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 doom. Running at you.
Whale sounds, or Big Daddy sounds.
Number two. Just really scary when he popped up and it shit my pants. And I saw the commercial.
It was frightening.
It's like, I don't want that game. Number two, let's do it.
Number two.
I'll just do it. This is definitely something that's been created digitally, and this is any drinking game. There's so many like beer pong games. Like if I see a game about cornhole or something, I'm gonna just lose my shit. These games are games that like that don't need to be done. Like they're social games that you do out on the lawn or like you hang out with your friends and play. And most of these games are just bad when they're video games. Like darts. Have you ever played a good darts video game? Just, they're bad, and they just shouldn't ever be made.
I had Magic Darts for NES growing up. I fucking loved that game. It was a good game. You had to go against like different bosses. There was a robot guy that had a really long arm. It was like cheating. The muscle guy. Magic Darts, good game. Standing by it. Fuck you.
It sounds like it has nothing to do with real darts, though.
No, I mean, you were still playing darts. And you had to like, you had to pick the angle, 45 degrees, you know, and power. It's a good game.
So basically, it's like Angry Birds back in the day.
Yeah, except you're throwing that dartboard. I did look it up. There is a horseshoes app on the Google Play Store.
That is terrible.
That is. That is awful.
I went to Dave and Buster's, I guess it was a while ago, a couple of months ago, but they had a like a Beirut or a beer pong like physical game where you could like throw it into little solo cups. I mean, I guess that's not quite digital, but still, I found it weird.
It was weird. Number three. Who's number three?
I don't know, but I'll take it.
Most of these on here, so people are just going to have to like start.
Pogs would be the worst. Pogs would be the worst game ever if they were digital. What would be the point?
There would just be towers of paper circles, and then you'd have a big slammer, and then the slammer would be slammed down, and there would be some sort of sweet like animation of like it'd be coming up from like 300 feet in the air, and you know there'd be fire behind it. It'd be like a meteor.
It's like you slam the slammer down, and then the pogs just fly in the air in like a million places. It's like confetti.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty. Like if they did good physics, man, that would actually be pretty cool.
All of a sudden, it sounds way cooler when you say it like that. You have a special slammer, and it's called, like, the Black Dragon, and it turns into a dragon as it's flying down and smashes the pogs. And you're like, oh, no, that sounds really cool now that you say it. Like
that's
that.
A good idea. No, it wouldn't be.
There's got to be a slow-mo cam and, like, instant replay and...
We may actually
more
need
like you're,
to remove this from the
more
podcast.
More like you redesign the game so the slammer. You redesign the game so the slammer burns all the paper pods on the board.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, it sounds awesome! I'm in.
Well, then like you if you did that, then you could just have it hit the top one, and then you'd have to hit like certain button combinations to get it. So then it would burn through all of the pods, and if you and like it would get absolutely harder and harder and harder. And if you did it exactly perfect, then you could get it all the way down to the bottom.
Your pogs are destroyed. Retreat.
I'm sorry, is this
like
the
this is turning into
five best or five worst?
It's usually the worst, and then we trick ourselves into it being the best at some point, too.
More like we're giving the worst, and then we just have to redesign it.
All right, number four. Number four is don't break the ice or don't spill the beans. Like any of the games where you have to like, I guess you could put like Jenga under this too. Any game where like something, there's a potential for like something to fall.
Yeah, I feel like that would be on the Wii or the Wii U or something, where it's and it'd be motion controlled, and you'd be like, don't wiggle it too much. Oh, you just knocked everything down.
Yeah.
I just remember the original Don't Break the Ice being. You always had to have tissues on hand, and you had to wet them. And I didn't like it, because then there was just wet tissues everywhere.
Yeah. It's pretty gross.
It was terrible. I remember I remember once playing, and I used, like, a brawny paper towel, and it, nothing broke. And I was like, well, this is...
That's a good idea.
It's a good advertisement for brawny.
Collecting all cash.
Number five.
We have about a bajillion to put here, so... Someone should just pick one of them.
Is that... Are you...
Put the pieces into the slot. Make the right connection. But be quick, you're missing the clock. Pop goes perfection. Like, I have the gigantic nose. It was terrifying.
That was terrifying.
And if you missed it, the whole thing exploded in your face. You're like leaning down so you can get in the right spot, and then it just like the whole board just shoots it out at you. Projectile style.
That would be excellent.
Takes all suspense out of it if you have it in a digital version. What's it going to do? Zap you? It should tie to your phone and have it like a zapper.
That'd be fun.
This was just like the most ridiculous, like sadistic game perfection. It was just like all these shapes, and you try to get them in, and if you don't, it just fucking ruins everything on you.
Boom!
It's like made to just ruin whatever you're doing out on timer, basically.
Yeah. I had this game. I played it a lot.
Basically, like, you just play it until it gets angry at you, and then it just ruins everything.
Regardless of whether you... I don't remember whether you could turn it off or whether it just shot it back at you regardless, and it's your own personal sense of satisfaction. I feel like you could turn it off. You could hit, like, the kill switch.
Which is, like, the worst. I mean, you could just play a game where you have to put puzzle pieces in shapes with a timer next to you, and then if you didn't do it, then you lost.
No.
I feel like...
He needs to shoot them at you.
I feel like they should make a game for, like, three-year-olds that only has, like, four slots, but it's, like, square, triangle, circle, and something else. And they're like, I can't do it! And then it just shakes it out, and it's like, you're terrible!
Just yells at them until... It's like a boot camp. It just makes sounds at them until they get it.
Try again!
It's like, you suck! You worm!
What's wrong with you?
Worst parenting tool ever.
The bucket of fun was also disturbing.
Like Mr. Bucket?
Mr. Bucket, I'll put your balls in my mouth. Mr.
I honestly can't believe that was a slogan at any point in time.
That wasn't Mr. a slogan. Bucket,
put, what?
It wasn't the slogan, but it sounded
something.
Like
it was close to that. It wasn't balls in my mouth.
It was
in my head.
You put the balls in like the bucket and spit them out or something. Like spit them out of my mouth, I think.
There's balls involved with mouths and spitting, and it's cute.
I just put this on there because it's fun to talk about, but I don't know whether I thought it would be pointless.
Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know what he's talking. I don't know what he says. I'm trying to listen to the commercial. I can't figure it out.
Is Bucket of Fun the same as Mr. Bucket?
Yeah.
And then we used to call Brandon Mr. Bucket because my name is Brandon. Put your balls in my mouth.
All I know is like the comment on YouTube for this is best toy ever. Oh man, I love it when my balls pop out of his mouth.
he says put your balls in my top.
Yeah.
Put your balls in my top. But it sounds like mouth to me.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, it says out of my mouth they will pop. This is also it. All of our viewers on the stream right now are listening to the Mr. Bucket theme song.
How many are there?
Just us.
All of the viewers from all the countries and all the land.
Dude, this just looks like the most obnoxious game ever. I remember just watching it, but... Just like,
nobody owned that game.
Just like launches balls everywhere, like, Jesus Christ.
Just like...
Spoons trying to pick them up.
it's just like sometimes I hear about games and things like this, and I just want to know the pitch. I want to see the pitch. I want to see when this guy pitched this game. There's a bucket. It spins around, shoots balls out, and kids pick them up with spoons and they try to put them in.
You know how kids like buckets, and how you know how kids like little tiny shovels. Well, I'm gonna put that and balls together. Get a little hole in the bucket. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
They're like, all right, sounds good. Let's get a marketing team on this ASAP.
Terrible. Well, that brings us to the part of the podcast where we talk about what we've been playing this week. So, start with Tim. What are you doing?
I actually haven't played anything. I'm busy packing because I'm moving, you know, 1,600 miles this weekend. So, I haven't done much of anything. Fun. I actually just took my computer apart today. Played a little bit of WoW, and that's about it. But nothing. Nice. Nothing really.
It's official. Twitch has been acquired by Amazon.
Yes. That did happen.
Breaking news. About
that is...
breaking podcast news.
Don't care.
Charles, what are you playing?
Not breaking.
Oh, I got done with Wolfenstein a while ago, and so I was going back to Dota playing a little bit. Trying to figure out what game I'm going to play next. Dedicated, but I'd probably just stick with Dota for a little while.
Get it.
Nice. Steve.
I haven't played Dota since the last time I recorded, if that's impossible to imagine. Actually, that's probably not true. I've been basically just drinking and eating and sleeping for the last, like, 4 or 5 days. So, I did play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time on Super Nintendo. I beat that. I was pretty happy with myself. Excellent. It's a great throwback. It's a great throwback. It's easy beat. It took, like, a half an hour or so. So, it was worth it. And other than that, yeah, man. I've been really busy. Summer's kind of wrapping up, trying to get, like, done seeing people I haven't seen and stuff, so I can go back to playing Dota.
Sweet. Ryan.
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit of Dota. I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone, going through the Curse of Nacharamas. And there's a browser game called Civ Clicker. C-I-V Clicker. Don't ever Google it. You'll lose hours of your day. I essentially played a spreadsheet. It's terrible. But yeah, don't go there ever.
Anyone
listening, don't do it. I warned you.
Terrible.
Nick, how about you?
Me? I've been playing Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate on PlayStation 4 and on Vita, because there's a cross-buy, cross-save, so I've been playing that, looking to get the platinum. Downloaded Infamous First Light, so I'll hopefully play that at some point, maybe tonight, hopefully, I'd like to. Apart from that, The Walking Dead, the final episode of The Walking Dead Season 2 on Vita. That's what I'm playing. That's what I'll start playing. Because I need to get that done, too. That's it. So, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you, William406. Thank you, At That Choffee. Thank you, RoboPig. Thank you, Stephen Kennett 2. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us again this week. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 48. And we're done. Follow us on Twitter, at LN Gamer Podcast.
Follow us on Twitch.
Yeah, Late Night Gamers Podcast. Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Steve, you suck so bad and so unbalanced. Blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles, what do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit. I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim, it's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
So I am playing Civ Clicker right now.
I'm clicking. I gotta build a tent or something. What's it do?
And literally all you do is click the buttons.
Yeah.